today on Richard Ellis Talks.
So find you a place, a consistent place, somewhere you can talk to him, somewhere you can let him talk to you. Because if you come dragging your butt in there at the end of the day trying to figure it all out, it's too late. Then you're cleaning up the day. You're not preventing the problems that you could have.
You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. We're so grateful you've tuned into the program. Richard wants to share with you some encouragement, words of hope, and probably a laugh or two. And in today's complicated, busy life, that's exactly what's needed. Richard's talks are always straight from the Bible, filled with truth. Now, you may not be able to hang out with us for the entire program, but you can always pick it back up at our website, richardellis.com. In fact, you can find all of Richard's talks right there waiting just for you, richardellis.com. So, with today's talk, here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Day One. This is a New Year prayer for the elderly, if you need one of these. God grant me the senility to forget the people I never liked anyway, the good fortune to run into the ones that I do, and the eyesight to tell the difference. So there's that prayer. Another prayer, dear Lord, so far this year I've done well. I haven't gossiped. I haven't lost my temper. I haven't been greedy, grumpy, nasty, selfish, or overindulgent. I'm very thankful for that, but in a few minutes, Lord, I'm going to get out of bed, and from then on, I'm probably going to need a lot more help. Amen. Day one, turn to Genesis chapter one. Day one, the very first day or the beginning of something. Day one could be the day you were born, many years ago for me. Day one could be the first day of school, and how things go sometimes on that first day of school can determine a lot of things. First day on a job, day one, can be very stressful or a great thing. A bunch of situations like this. Now let's go to Genesis, to literally day one. I want to take you here a minute. Genesis chapter one, let's start with verse one. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light, and God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Now, if you think you are a multitasker, God can get a lot done in one day. I mean, and you say, well, but it looks like he did so much more other days. This is a big day. And it is amazing to me that you got the earth, you got, you know, form without void, darkness covers deep, and then boom, let there be light. Light doesn't make as much sense unless there is darkness. And if you've got darkness in your light, and I'll read you some more about this in a second in the New Testament, when there is darkness, light literally chases darkness away. And I have people that don't like to be around me. You have people don't like to be around you. They used to be able to run with you, party with you, do whatever they did with you. And when you stepped into the light and light stepped into you, so to speak, now they're like, don't want to be around you. Don't take it personally. It is not you they dislike. It is the light in you. It is him that they cannot come near. So it is a compliment, really, when people cannot get near you in that way. Now go to Matthew chapter 5. Look at these astonishing things that Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5. Let's start in verse 14. Now you say, well, you know, and we'll read these verses, God is light. You know, I'm fine with God being light and God making light and all these things, great. But look what Jesus looks at his followers and says, you are the light of the world. It's you. You say, yeah, but I can't be the light of the world because I don't have any light. Well, implicit in that is that you have to have something change. You've got to have a bulb in you, as it were, if you're going to be the light. And he is really the light that is in you. But what he's trying to say is you are out there. And you say, well, where's Jesus? He's in heaven. Well, I thought he was here too. And in the body of Christ and in each of us, the person of the Holy Spirit living in you. But when you go out there into the world, when you go to your job, when you stop at a filling station, wherever you go, you are literally the light of the world. And when you step into that place, you bring light into darkness. And it either causes them to want to get away from you, or they are drawn like bugs to that light, not to get zapped or anything, but they're just drawn to you because they're looking for something they don't have. I had breakfast this last week with a guy, and he'd be okay if I said this. I've been interacting with this guy for 14 years now, and he and I have nothing in common. Nothing in common. I've never done drugs. He does drugs. Heroin. I mean, we sit and talk about these things. You know, I'm sitting there with this guy, and it's a guy that we office near in the old church office, and he kind of watched the light come on and off, you know, just around him. And then one day, God gave me an opportunity to talk to him. Now, he is this close to crossing the line. He didn't cross it yet, as far as I know. But I have to understand that in that situation, I am the light of the world for him. I am his light. And he may not be able to see God. He may not be able to get to God. He doesn't think. But he knows he can get to me. And he doesn't have many friends. He's got his drug buddies, and he's been living hard. His heroes are men that have done drugs their whole life. So he runs in a whole nother world. But I have to be aware that I am the light of the world for that guy, and that God is using me in his life, and that one day, hopefully, that light that he sees in me, he figures out how to have that light come on inside of him, and he has nowhere to go. He has nothing else to turn to. He is desperate for an answer, and he just can't cross that line yet. And you are that person out there in that world for those people. And whether they're sophisticated, educated, uneducated, homeless, got a beautiful home, whether ethnicity, it doesn't matter. People are lost. They are in the dark. And when the light comes on, it is an extraordinary experience for them, especially when it comes on in a person. And he goes on here in Matthew 5, "You're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." They've got to see your good works. You say, "Well, I thought it wasn't about me." There has to be something different about your life where they see something tangible. Now, if it really is of God, when they see your good works, your light, what does it cause them to do? Then they glorify God. You don't get the glory. That's the test. If you get glory for your good works, then something's not working. When it is really God working in you and through you, and he is the light, and he is putting out light through you, and you understand all that, then even the way it goes down, at the end, they will glorify your Father who is in heaven and go, "Wow, you have an amazing God, because you couldn't pull this off by yourself." Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and now you're going to see how these things mesh from Genesis chapter 1, even in this passage. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 1, "Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart, but we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe." Why? "Lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of the darkness," referring back to Genesis 1, "who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Now, do you believe that you have the ability, the power to pray? Let's say you met a blind person and you went up and put your thumbs on their eye sockets and you said, "In Jesus' name, receive your sight." Do you believe you have the power, any one of you, to bring sight to a blind person? Now, I don't believe that, or I'd be doing that, right? I'd meet a blind person and go, "Oh, wow, I've been looking for a blind person today. I haven't healed a blind person today yet. Let me put my thumbs on your eyes, or I'll do a little spit here and make a little dirt clod and do what Jesus did," and bam. I don't have that kind of faith, which is so strange, because I actually believe I can pray that the blind would see. Because the guy I had breakfast with the other day could not see. He was blind. And I believe God can open his eyes and give him sight. So I'm getting there. And maybe one day before I die, he gives me the faith, or I exercise the faith if he has already given me that, where I could literally speak to someone and say, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk, open your eyes and see." If I had to pick, I'll take spiritual sight all day long, because he has given me the faith to believe that I can sit with a blind man and tell him, and I told him this the other day, I said, dude, I don't know what it's going to take, how much pain you got to have, but I said, if you think you're alone, you are not alone. I am sitting here, and you and I both know we have nothing in common, but you know I love you, and it matters to me what happens to you. You are not by yourself. So what am I praying? That his spiritual eyes will be opened, and that the God of this world who has blinded him will not be able to keep him blind, but he will have eyes to see, ears to hear, a heart to understand and believe, and see what God can do in his life. Ephesians chapter 5, Ephesians 5, verse 7. Let's jump in there. A few pages to the right if you're at 2 Corinthians. You're not far. And you'd have to read the whole thing here. You're talking about where they came from, who they used to be. Therefore, do not be partakers with them, for you were once darkness. He doesn't say you were once in the dark. He says you were darkness. Now, when you have been darkness and the light of the glory of God comes on, it is a crazy deal, because the light exposes whatever was hidden in the darkness. And what is hidden in the darkness is usually what is destroying your life. Even prisoners who spend their lives in prison, if you talk to anyone who's put into solitary confinement and into absolute darkness, that is a problem. Alone in the dark is a very, very, very bad place to be. And it cures some things, because you say something in your brain says, I do not want to be alone in the dark ever again. Prison is bad. This is horrific. For you were once darkness, and now you are light in the Lord. And he explains what we were talking about a minute ago. So then he says what? Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. And whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Get you some of that. 1 John chapter 1, toward the end of your Bible. And I'll just read this, verse 5. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And there's another verse I didn't put in here in 1 John, that if you walk in the light as he is in the light, that you have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses you. He goes on to talk about that. You want to know whether you're walking in the light? You have fellowship with other believers. When you're feeling yourself pulling away from other Christians, you are slipping into the dark. When you don't want to be around other godly people, other people that are in the light, that's not a good thing. Fellowship, genuine, meaningful fellowship with other believers is an indicator that you are walking in the light. Now, the first day of the year, usually people make a lot of resolutions. I'm going to give you some suggestion ones to make. Proverbs 3, go back over to the Old Testament. Proverbs 3, verse 9. Some of these resolutions you can make for a year at a time. Here's one I'll suggest you make a month at a time. How are you going to start the month in terms of your finances? Proverbs 3, 9, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Get you some of that. You say, well, I don't believe that. And that's why you got so many problems. You're holding on like it's yours anyway, right? Now, let me tell you something. The longer you do this, my wife and I have these conversations. A check had to be written the other day, and it involved her side of the deal. It's all ours, but her business, all that. And you know what? She stepped up and wrote a check. There's a lot of stuff we could have done with that check, but there's a lot of problems keeping that money. You better not be keeping God's money. You are messing with fire, because God may not get it, but you will not keep it either. Something will happen. Something will happen. I have not kept any money in my life that I withheld from God. He found a way to come get it. You say, how do you know that? I just know that. I'd have been better off letting it go and putting it in the ground. 2 Corinthians 9, read this one with me, because this will help you in this category. 2 Corinthians 9, look at verse 1 and following. Now concerning the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you, for I know your willingness, about which I boast of you to the Macedonians, that Acacia was ready a year ago, and your zeal has stirred up the majority. Yet I have sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this respect, that, as I said, you may be ready, lest if some Macedonians come with me and find you unprepared, we, not to mention you, should be ashamed of this confident boasting. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren to go to you ahead of time and prepare your generous gift beforehand, which you had previously promised, that it may be ready as a matter of generosity and not as a grudging obligation. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or necessity, for God loves a what? Cheerful giver. Oh, I hate doing this, but God demands my money. You know what? Whatever. What is that? That ain't working. That's like your kids coming and saying, Dad, you know, when you're at the store, we need some more milk. We don't have milk. Well, I'm tired of buying milk for you kids. What are you doing with all the milk? Well, Daddy, we drink it. I am tired. You should not be drinking all the milk. You say, well, that's ludicrous. That's what you're doing to God. Well, here, God, here's your blankety blank money. And now you're supposed to bless me, right? Is that going to work? I mean, that's like stopping and getting flowers and here are your flowers. Now, what are you going to do for me? I want something out of this deal. A little romance maybe. Hey, sweetie, you know, you say, well, all that sounds absurd. Yeah, well, then don't do that to God. God loves a cheerful giver. He loves it when we show up and go, hey, wow, look, you've blessed me. And as far as I can see back, you've taken care of me. And there have been times when I had not a clue where it was going to come from, but I trusted you anyway. I wrote the check, I gave whatever, and you showed up again. So why would I stop believing that now? And you know what? You're going to need him in the future. There is a good chance you're going to need him in the future, right? So keep that thing going. And if I sat down, I would be embarrassed because it is so overwhelming how God has taken care of me and my family. So how could I not say, here, Lord, it's been working out? There's one category. Go to Hebrews chapter 10. There is something that what I love about even the stars and the way God made creation, this thing kind of goes cyclically, right? The earth, the moon, the sun, we kind of do this thing 365 days, leap years notwithstanding. So there's kind of a year rotation. Boom, another year comes, another year goes. And in that year, there's months. And in those months, there's weeks. And in those weeks, there's days. And in those days, there's hours. And it breaks it down incrementally where we can kind of negotiate and deal with these things. So some things come monthly for us. But there is something about a weekly gathering, something about even the fact that God created the universe in 6 days and rested a seventh, that we almost need that cycle to make it. You can only go so long. Make a decision from day one that you are going to show up at a gathering of believers. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. We need each other. There is just something just emotionally, psychologically, physically, there is something for me about being here with you. And for the sake of people out there listening, driving around, sitting at home on a computer, wherever you're listening, you say, well, I can worship God just as well by myself. No, you can't. Because you got nobody up in your business where they're supposed to be when they're supposed to be there. And you think you're all safe and no one's going to hurt you. Well, I got hurt and somebody went to church and I was involved in church. Stop throwing all the barrels of apples out because you had a problem with one. You're going to have trouble at church. You're not going to have a family. You say, well, I don't like getting hurt. Why'd you get married? You're going to get hurt. And then had kids? Man, we had some people over, family over last night. They got like a 6-month-old baby and that thing lit up. I was like, oh my gosh. I am not going back to this. I'm talking about take a deep breath and scream. And you let that go on all night. I've done it. I'm not interested in going back to that. That's what those old printer cover things are for. You put air in there and everything. But
You've got to be connected to a body of believers. You have to be consistently connected. You say, well, but the Holy Spirit has led me to visit around for the last 5 years. I don't think so. We got people who show up here, intend to go looking for a church and go, you know what? I got to find one. Lord says, this is it. I'm in. And then we got people go floating out there, you know, looking around. Pick a church. The book also says, in reference to the previous item, where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be also. Where people give their money, that's their church. Okay. Let's do this may not be an easier one, but maybe a better one to end on. Psalm 5:3. The money thing, it's interesting. The money thing, you'll know about it. Not too many people. The showing up thing, a lot of people know about that. But here's one that not too many people are going to know about, you think. But all of a sudden, if it's not going on, it will surface. Listen to Psalm 5:3. And this is the psalmist talking to God. He says, my voice you shall hear in the morning, O Lord, in the morning. I will direct it to you and I will look up. From day one, from scratch, I don't always do this every day. But even before you wake up, even before you get out of bed, start talking to him. And if you can find a place, I don't care if it's by the toilet, on the toilet, I don't care where it is. A lot of people do a lot of talking to God on the toilet. I'm just saying. You say, well, you shouldn't say things like that out loud. It ain't like you don't have a library by your toilet, right? It's not kindling to start a fire. So find you a place, a consistent place, somewhere you can talk to him, somewhere you can let him talk to you. Because if you come dragging your butt in there at the end of the day trying to figure it all out, it's too late. Then you're cleaning up the day. You're not preventing the problems that you could have. I got a theory. If you start out early in the morning, you avoid lots of problems. If all you can get out is the Lord's Prayer, that'll save your butt right there. The little phrase, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. If you start your day praying that, you have no idea how much pain you can avoid. Because you're saying right up front, God, I am here. I am checking in. I am yours. I need you. I trust you. You've got to help me. I know me. I know where I get killed. I know where I get shot at. So I am launching out into this day and I am asking you not to direct my life where I'll get hit with these things. Deliver me from the evil one. I don't want this anymore. And what happens to us if we don't pray that, we go stumbling through our day and we land in the same spot. We get hit with the same old mess. And then God has to keep letting that happen to get our attention and show us how much we need him. Start off from day one. You say, well, I missed a day. It's okay. Do it the next day, the next day. I don't work out every day of my life. It would probably kill me. But talking to God every morning of my life is not going to kill me. And you got plenty to talk to him about. And if you don't, you will. So get in that pattern.
Before Richard comes back to wrap things up for us today, I'd like to share a couple important things with you. Let me encourage you to take a minute and check out our website, richardellis.com. You'll find today's talk right there in the talks page, along with all of Richard's audio and video messages. You can even forward them to a friend so they can hear them too. You'll also find the prayer wall to add your prayer requests, a link so you can connect with us, the contribute page for you to be able to give to this ministry, all of our social media links, and much more. So check it out, richardellis.com. And Richard's back now to wrap up today's talk.
Mark chapter 1, verse 35, talking about Jesus. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. You have no Jesus without the relationship of Jesus with the Father, because whatever he saw the Father do, that's what he did, and that's what we're supposed to be about, living our lives the way he intended for us to live. And if you're not talking to dispatch all day, you're going to have a hard time ending up where you're supposed to end up. And the Holy Spirit is dispatch. And if you get in that communication, if you're spending time with other believers, if you're doing the right thing with his money, not your money, his money, if you're talking to him, letting him talk to you in the scriptures, there's just simple things that will change your year. They'll change your life. You say, well, yeah, it's all so simple. Yeah, I'm not talking about knowing what to do. I'm talking about doing it. Take a first step. Get in the game. Get in the groove. The wise try to do the right thing from day one. The foolish say, I'll do it one day. And one day never comes. So why not start doing it from day one and see how that works out for you?
Thanks for tuning in today to Richard Ellis Talks. We all have busy schedules these days, so it means the world to us that you would take this time to listen. Richard would love to know how today's talk has touched your heart, so give us a call at 855-6-RICHARD, 855-6-RICHARD. You can also share your story with us at our website, richardellis.com. One last thing, Richard Ellis Talks is a daily program that is always expanding to reach the world with the good news of the gospel, but it also has daily costs. And being a listener-supported program like ours means we rely on the financial partnership of our listeners, which means you. We believe that these talks with Richard are making a difference in your life, so this is how you can make a difference to ours. You can contribute by calling 855-6-RICHARD or at our website, richardellis.com. Thank you for your generosity. God bless, and thanks for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.